Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. We've been talking about the last few Sundays, the straight and narrow way, and we've been specifically talking from the Sermon on the Mount about the Beatitudes. And Jesus, when he uses this word straight, it's not as a straight line, but rather a very narrow passageway that is compressed by rocks on both sides, like the Strait of Magellan. It's a very difficult pathway. And Jesus says that the way to heaven will not be easy. When we look at the Beatitudes, as we study those, it's important for us that Jesus is talking about the idea of happiness. And the world is searching for happiness, but looking for it in all the wrong places. But Jesus talks about these dispositions or attitudes, beatitudes, if you will, that our disposition should be as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about this sermon being proclaimed on this north side of the Sea of Galilee. And you can just envision Jesus sitting there on that mound, and the hundreds or thousands of people that were there that would have been listening to him teach this great lesson. Today we're going to be looking at verse 7, and the text says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." When we stop to consider the idea of mercy, I think that probably the best definition of that word would simply be goodwill towards the miserable, the afflicted, and it's joined with a desire to relieve them. Mercy is simply sympathy for the suffering of other people. Pity, someone says, for the pitiful. Compassion for the crushed. And hurting for those who hurt. Our world is full of hurt and pain. If you look at the world through rose-tinted glasses, maybe we can deceive ourselves into thinking that everything is great and wonderful. But it's not. When we look at this world, there is lots of pain. There's lots of poverty. There's lots of suffering. And not just by Christians. Mercy is an action. It is not just a feeling. It's one thing to have a feeling of compassion for someone that we feel sorry for them. But that's not mercy in its complete idea. Mercy is feeling this compassion, but then positive steps must be taken to do something about that suffering. So for instance, if we see someone who is without food, certainly within us we feel compassion for them. But mercy then says, feed them. Mercy demands that we do more than pray for those who are spiritually lost. Mercy demands that we take the gospel to them personally. Mercy is meeting the need, not just feeling it. Mercy, then, is really the idea of serving others. And may I rephrase from what Jesus himself has said, "Blessed are the merciful." Happiness is serving others. We live in a self-centered world. We live in a world where it's all about me. But Jesus says happiness is not living your life all about you. Happiness in the kingdom of Christ is serving others. Mercy is best demonstrated in God's work for man. God does not want anybody to be lost. God has a great feeling and love for each and every soul upon this earth. Yet God didn't just feel sorry for us, but God did something for us. And what He did, He sent His Son to die for us. Brother Eric had some good words this morning to remind us about the importance of remembering every first day of the week, yea, every day of our life. About the mercy of God and what He has done for us. He has a great compassion for us. And He did something for us. He sent His Son. When we consider many of the biblical stories, to me, the greatest of story that relates to mercy and compassion is the story of the Good Samaritan. And when we stop to consider that great story, and we've studied that not long ago, the Samaritan was indeed merciful. He helped this Jewish fella whom his own fellow Jews passed by on the other side. And they very well may have had a compassion for this guy, but they didn't do anything about it. There was a Levite and then there was a priest. And of all people, you would think they would have done something for this guy, but they didn't. But yet it was an enemy of the Jew, the Samaritan, that was merciful, that showed compassion, that actually did something. In fact, he went the extra mile. He really did what was above and beyond what anybody would, quote, normally do. In fact, God uses him as an example for us. At the end of that story, go and do likewise. When we stop to consider the idea of mercy, it is the merciful who will receive mercy. Now you think about that for a moment. He says in verse 7, the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It just might very well be that we are merciful and we're compassionate and we help others because we realize how much mercy has been extended to us. You see, mercy also involves the concept of undeserving. You show mercy to someone that is not your friend. They're not your buddy. They very well may be your enemy. And you're really maybe at heart tempted to laugh or to be joyful or happy that this person has suffered this pain. But mercy says, I feel their pain and I have compassion for them and I want to relieve that pain. I'm going to do something to help them. You know, that's not natural. I don't think you're born with that. It's a choice. In fact, I have said before in these lessons that we may look at these Beatitudes and as Jesus spoke of them concerning the character of the citizen of the kingdom, they seem as if they are superhuman, but they're really not. Each of us are capable of each of these attitudes and actions because it's a matter of choice. I can choose to be happy. I can choose to be sad. I can choose to be helpful. I can choose to be neglectful. I can choose to be good. And I can choose to be bad. And it is a choice. Mercy is a choice. Being compassionate is a choice. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we of all people have been recipients of the mercy of God. We have experienced firsthand being someone who did not deserve God's compassion, but we have received, nonetheless, the mercy of God. Grace has been extended to us. Forgiveness has been given unto us. And we are children of God, not because we merit it, not because we deserve it, but because of the compassion of God. That's what we're supposed to be. No, not God, but compassionate, merciful. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap. Paul made that clear in the book of Galatians chapter 6. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. The application of that principle of truth as applied to these characteristics or attitudes or beatitudes would be simply this. We might want to be just a little bit compassionate and a little bit merciful. Then what do we reap? What did the text say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you plant just a little, you're going to get just a little back. How much mercy do you need? Me too. I need a lot. So what choice should I make about my compassion for others? That's really a no-brainer, is it not? Is not God saying, here is where true happiness is. If you want the overflowing, boundless grace and mercy of God, then you learn by choice to be merciful and compassionate to others. Hesitating, uncertain, overly cautious, that's not mercy. In James chapter 2 and verse 13, James, he uses this idea of mercy as well. And in James chapter 2 and verse 13, the text says, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So what if we decide that this person or persons or peoples don't deserve it, so we don't show compassion or extend mercy? That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, mercy is to be extended and it triumphs over judgment. So I made a judgment. You don't deserve it, but I give you mercy anyway. Did you see that point? You see, that really doesn't fit into our way of thinking. We tend to be judge, jury, and executioner with all of our actions about others. If someone's ugly to us, we're ugly back. If we invite someone and we help them, but they don't in turn invite us or take care of us, then we don't have anything more to do with them. You see, the very idea of revenge, the idea of retaliation, that is all on God's end of the stick. I can't even begin to go there. Because of who I am, who I have been, a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom, we know on what side of the railroad tracks we come from. We don't deserve what we have in Christ because of His mercy. Therefore, in turn, we must be merciful to others and compassionate. You see, because there are a few passages that will haunt us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 13, the text simply says, "The one who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered." Did you hear that? Let me read that one more time. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. "The one who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered." Isn't that what the Lord said? Who is the one that's going to receive mercy? The one that is merciful. What is the other side of that coin? What if I'm not merciful? I'm not going to get any mercy. That's a pretty simple truth. It is the man that shows mercy that's going to be happy. He will be at peace with himself and others and God. When I spend my time judging others, whom I have no right to do, when I spend my time thinking about whether or not I should show compassion towards someone, that's not happiness. I tell you what, that is torture. You're torturing yourself when you start thinking that way. I've done that kind of thinking. It kills you. Mercy says, do something for them. Okay, so you're feeling uptight. You're feeling blue. You're nervous. Maybe you think nobody cares about you since you have made you the center of the universe and everything revolves around you. And maybe you've even gotten to the point that you feel like you're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're just going to blow a fuse and just come apart. Did you know actually, emotionally, spiritually, the Beatitudes is the answer to psychiatry and psychology? One psychiatrist said, if you start to feel like you're getting ready to have a nervous breakdown, get out of your house, get in your car, drive to the other side of the tracks, find somebody in need and help them. Wonder where they got that information. It's the beatitude of the merciful. Selfish, self-centered, spoiled children grow up to be that kind of adult. When children are simply catered to with every little whim that they want, and if they don't get it, they scream and they stomp their feet and they pout. We have a whole country full of that kind of people. And you know what's missing in those people's lives? Serving other people. Maybe the best thing to do when a child and or an adult gripes or complains about what he has is for that to be taken away from him and given to someone who has nothing. What would we learn from that? I'm not sure. But I would hope that we would begin to learn the importance of giving to others. Winston Churchill, he made this very famous statement. He says, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." I think most of us are interested in receiving. And it is blessed to receive. But Jesus said something a little bit different about that, didn't he? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. He didn't say receiving, there was no blessing. It is more blessed to give. So to be merciful is the golden rule of giving to others. Do you want to be happy? Then do your best to give to others. The Anderson Church has been greatly blessed in so many ways. We have been blessed monetarily. We have been blessed numerically. We've been blessed on every hand. And I believe that brethren here at Anderson are appreciative for the great blessings of God. And we should continue to be thankful. I can't help but remember the statement that Mordecai said to Esther. God's people were going to be destroyed because of the wicked plans of Haman. Esther found out about it. She was going to have to go before the king, her husband, and petition him for help. If he chose not to receive her, it would be her death. So yes, this was a life and death situation for her personally, but it was a life and death situation for her people. As she was hesitating and as she was thinking about what she should do, Mordecai said to her, "Who knows? You might be in the position you are for this occasion." And he says, if you don't act, God will just take and use somebody else. He'll get his work done. Have you ever considered what your purpose in life is? Have you ever stopped to consider that all of your life has come to this point in time for what purpose? I am so thankful to God that all of us have been given an awesome opportunity to participate in the helping of brethren in Zimbabwe. Brethren in Zimbabwe are not the only needy people in the world. There are needy people all over this planet. There are needy people in this county. But it seems like that this has just kind of been dropped right out of heaven itself, and I mean that metaphorically, into our lap. And how we respond to that personally, how we respond to that collectively, is a tremendous thing. Did you know that Our giving and our helping them, obviously, is a tremendous help to them. But you know who's getting the greater blessing? Us. Because the merciful will receive mercy. And do you need mercy? Giving just a cup of cold water to someone seems so little. Putting a dollar bill in the collection plate seems so little. Shall I remind us that it was the Lord who saw the poor widow put in just a few coins? And He said, she has put in more than they that are rich. Because the rich people still have a lot left over. The widow didn't have anything left. This morning when you gave, were you merciful? Compassionate? Then you shall receive mercy. What a blessing to serve other people. You've listened very patiently this morning. I thank you for that. In just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing a song of encouragement to those who need to render obedience unto the Lord. And obeying the gospel is just the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. It is that which the Lord calls through His gospel to be His people. And His people are different. His people will be merciful to those who don't deserve it. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. We're a people that we're not conformed to this world. We're not fashioned to this world. We're being transformed by the power of the gospel in our hearts. I must say to you, in many, many respects, it's been a major metamorphosis for me from a caterpillar to a butterfly idea just in a few days in Africa. The gospel has an effect on your soul. It changes who you are. But it will only change you when you allow it to change you. So, have you become a Christian? Are you a Christian? What are you waiting on? If you're a Christian, what are you doing? Are you merciful? Compassion? What are you doing for anyone? Well, each of us must answer that call. It's my call to answer. Many of you have so sacrificially answered that question. And you will receive mercy in return. What a blessing. If you need to obey the gospel, why don't you do it now as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus, Father?